helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. What's been going on at the southern border has been called many things. An invasion, dereliction of duty, some have even called it treason. Now, hyperbole and rhetoric aside, what we have here is a simple case of the man who took an oath to make sure the laws of the United States were faithfully executed, utterly failing to do so. The man who swore to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution has repeatedly done the exact opposite. Then, when others took up the responsibility he had abdicated, like the true bully he has shown himself to be, has done everything he can to intimidate them into complying with his failures. Before we follow this man into disaster, we should ask ourselves, is our duty to the man or the Constitution? If the latter, what are we going to do about this crisis? Hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I am so glad you could join me today. You know, there's been a lot in the news about the goings-on on the southern border and as well as other things. I wanted to come back to this border issue because a lot has changed. We've been focusing a fair amount on Trump and the ballot issue. I thought it was time to come back and take a look at the border. But before we start looking at the news, I want to remind people a couple of things. Section 3 of Article 2 of the Constitution says that the president shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. Well, that means you actually have to follow the law. He also takes an oath where he solemnly swears or affirms to not only faithfully execute the office of President of the United States, but to the best of his ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And, well, the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Joe Biden, has failed utterly in both. I say that because as we get into these news items, there's a lot of talk about woulda, shoulda, couldas, but we have to understand the president's primary role is to make sure the laws are faithfully executed and to protect the Constitution of the United States. Now, in this case, especially at the southern border, there have been other scenarios. But we're going to focus on the border today. Well, let's just say that not only has he been an abject failure, he has actively looked to subvert the laws of the United States. I mean, there are people saying, you know, well, what's going on the southern border is a crisis, and Joe Biden has failed to act. I disagree. I think he's acted, but he's acted to make things worse. He's acted through, Customs and Border Patrol to release people into this country who came in here illegally in violation of federal law. He's transported them across the country, which not only is a violation of immigration law, but makes him, puts him in charge of a human trafficking ring. There's so much going on here. We're talking about millions of people coming across the border. The numbers are outrageous. When the President Biden took down parts of the wall that were built, and the rest of the country's really getting tired of dealing with this mess. Yeah, the city of New York complaining, you're letting all these migrants in, and sure, maybe it's Republican governors, but you've let these people in. You got to help us deal with this. People in California that are overwhelmed by illegal aliens. People in Illinois. But ultimately, with all the focus on, this state sent people to that city, there wouldn't be people to send if the chief executive, the president of the United States, Joe Biden, had actually done something to enforce the laws of the United States and prevent these people from coming in. As I said, he rescinded executive orders that kept some of the aliens out. and he says he can do nothing to fix it. Now, of course, there's an election coming up. People see what a failure he has been at immigration. And now he says, well, you know, I could do something, but I can't do anything until Congress actually passes a law. Total hogwash. So what has happened? Well, the states have started stepping up to fill in the gap. Now, there's a couple of ways of looking at this. One is to look at the Constitution and say that the states can protect themselves against invasion, since the federal government isn't doing their job to do so. Of course, invasion is kind of a tricky word. It gets thrown around a lot, and I've talked about it before. I don't think the regular migration problem this country's had for decades, well, I don't think that accounts for invasion. I don't think invasion is simply a question of numbers. You go back to the definition. So the fact that you have people coming here looking for jobs, that doesn't make them invaders. However, when you have criminal cartels, paramilitary organizations coming into this country, that's an invasion. When you have actors of foreign nations that are hostile to the United States, that have themselves declared us as their enemies, well, that's an invasion. And that's part of the problem that we're dealing with. So you can look at Article 4, Section 4, and say, hey, the states are simply defending themselves because the federal government has failed in their responsibility under that clause to do so. Or you could look at Article 1, Section 10, that says that no state will go to war with a foreign power unless they're actually invaded or in such imminent danger as will not admit delay. That's, by the way, what Texas has been using as their primary justification for enforcing the border. Either way you're looking at it, you're looking at the states picking up a responsibility of the federal government. But there's another way to look at it. And it's, by the way, one I don't hear very many people talking about. See, even though courts have said differently, the plain fact of the matter is the Constitution does not delegate to the United States the power to regulate immigration. They can regulate a commerce with foreign nations. They can put in place, Congress can put in place a uniform rule of naturalization. But when it comes to immigration, people moving here, that's not a power delegated to the United States. So the state has every right, since under the 10th Amendment, if it wasn't delegated to the United States and it wasn't prohibited to the states retain the power to regulate immigration. Furthermore, we forget that states have borders, and some of those borders are international borders, right? So, for example, I live in Tennessee, right? All of our borders are domestic borders: Kentucky, Arkansas, Georgia, Alabama. You know, these are all domestic borders. Texas, however, well, they have an international border, but that border is no less the border of Texas than simply because it's also the border of the United States. It's a border of a group of states. The state still has a right to defend itself. So in the midst of all this, and we see what's going on, Texas said, you know what? We're going to stand up. We're going to do the job that the federal government doesn't do. And of course, they put up was the floating barrier. Then they had the container wall. And what seems to have been what turned to the crux of this is Eagle Pass, this park where the state of Texas said, listen, if you're not, United States, if you're not going to do your job, we'll do it for you, and you are not welcome within this area because you are derelict in your duty. And of course, that set off a whole brouhaha, and of course, it went through the courts, and then Texas started defending that part of the border, and they started detaining people, and it grew. Well, of course, Donald Trump and company, they didn't much like that idea, so they threatened. First, they went to the courts, But they also, there were threats, and I don't think the Biden administration actually did this, but there were several people that are suggesting that the Biden administration nationalized the Texas National Guard so that A, it takes them away from Governor Abbott, and B, they can be used to enforce the laws of the United States. That's a proper function of the National Guard when brought into federal service. A couple problems with that. Texas also has a state guard. They have a state militia that is not part of the National Guard, so they have still have militia people. But the other problem is, I think they would cause a quite a problem should the Biden administration start using Texas's National Guard to what, arrest Texas citizens for defending themselves against the invasion of people across their borders. And I warned at the time, I said, should the United States actually try to nationalize the Texas National Guard for this purpose, it could easily lead to a civil war. Well, not surprisingly, there were several states that were, well, let's just say they were not real happy seeing what the United States was trying to do to Texas, so they started sending their own National Guard. I mean, think about it. You have other states coming to the defense of Texas, and I've said this before. That's actually a very important step. When you stand alone, you are alone. It's when people come and join you that you begin to really have strength. And the more states that come along, the greater power they have to stand up against the United States. Now, different states have been involved to different degrees and different levels. For example, Florida Governor DeSantis said he was going to send 1,000 troops to Texas to assist in securing the border. Texas Governor Lee, on the other hand, well, he's sending 50 troops to help with the border. And my point isn't simply the numbers. It's the simple fact of states standing up and saying, we need to defend ourselves from all enemies, foreign. We need to defend the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if that includes the people in Washington, D.C., so be it. Now, thankfully, this hasn't come to blows, right? There's been no violence, no gunfire at the border, and I'm very glad to hear that. I'm not looking to have a shooting war. What I am glad happy to see are states that are standing up and pushing back against a federal government that is not only derelict in their duties, but bullying states for actually doing the job the United States was supposed to do. Now, I'm sure there are people with different ideas. That's fine. I don't have a problem with people with different ideas. But as often as I hear people complain, well, you can't stand up against DC. You can't fight City Hall. You can't stand. What we're seeing are states actually standing up and pushing back. They're saying, wait a second, we are not your serfs. We are not your vassal states. The states actually created the federal government. And I am glad to see that. I'm glad to see it for two reasons. One is, it's always good to see what you'd like. It's always good to see a plan work well. The distribution of power that was part of the structure of the Constitution, that the states would defend themselves against the infringement of the federal government. That's good to see. It's also good to see that while there's a lot of heated rhetoric on a lot of sides, that so far sane heads have prevailed and we haven't gone too far. But the very idea of seeing states, it's a glimmer of hope. What's the saying? It's always darkest just before the dawn. It's been pretty dark lately. There's a glimmer of hope in this. See, if states will come together to defend their borders, will they come together to defend their citizens? rights. In other words, are we going to see situations where states will not only stand up and say, no federal government, we didn't authorize this? Are they going to come together to actually put some teeth behind this? I know nullification is kind of a dirty word in a lot of places, but it is what our founding fathers hoped would happen if the federal government violated the Constitution, that the states, as their creators, would stand up and say, no. Not nullification, as many people thinking of, simply saying, we're overturning federal law, but saying, no, that's not constitutional, not in my state. And then to have states support each other in that. That's what I'm glad to see. And that's what I hope we will see more of that in the future. Now, I want to get into some of the legal questions and some of what other states are doing. But before I go there, I have to take a break. Now, I'm going to be on the road for a while, just for several days. But I don't know about you, but when I travel, when I go to conferences and stuff, I find I often come home sick. It's because it's a lot to put on my immune system. You've got the travel, the difficult, sleeping in strange places, interacting with a lot of people. I've got something that helps. It supports my immune system with a simple, well, a gel pack. It's healthy cells, immune boosting nutrients called Immune Super Boost. It combines over a dozen supplements into a single travel-ready gel pack. So I take these, I throw them in my bag before I leave, and then I take them every day while I'm on the road. And it helps give my immune system that extra boost it needs to deal with, well, whatever crazy is going on. I also use them, by the way, if I start feeling sick, if I start getting that scratchy throat or a runny nose, I'll reach and I'll take these. And it works really well. And again, because they're travel-ready gel packs, you can take them anywhere. You don't need to mix them in a drink. You can if you want. They're easy to use. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, guess what? You can get 25% off anything from HealthyCell on your first order. The trick is you have to go to americaoutloud.shop and find out the details. You need to use the code OUTLOUD when you check out. So please go to americaoutloud.shop, find the card, find the advertisement for Immune Super Boost and for Healthy Cell. Go to the site, use that code OUTLOUD. It lets them know you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, you get 25% off your first order.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, HealthyCell, created Joint Health and Mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And HealthyCell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off. Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. HealthyCell created Heart and Vascular Health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And HealthyCell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back, Everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution study. Today, we're looking at what we can learn from the border crisis. We started right off with understanding that, the base of the President of the United States is derelict in his duty. The Constitution requires him to faithfully execute the laws of the United States. He's not done that. He took an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. He's not doing that. And now the states are starting to step up and do what the federal government should do. And of course, well, Mr. Biden's not real happy with that. So in the latest tete-a-tete, Texas passed a law. And the idea was it would make it a state crime to illegally enter or re-enter Texas from a foreign country. That by making it a state crime, state and local law enforcement would have the authority to arrest and prosecute violators, and state judges could order individuals to leave the country and even imprison them if so desired. So the federal government's not prosecuting these people. It's not deporting the illegal aliens. So Texas said, fine, we'll stand up and we will do it. We'll make a law that says if you're coming from a foreign country illegally, that's now a Texas crime. Didn't take very long for that to get challenged, and a circuit judge temporarily blocked officials from enforcing SB4. And by the way, because the Federal Department of Justice just asked them to file the complaint. Of course, yeah, the American Civil Liberties Union was in that as well. And of course, that got kicked up to the Supreme Court. Now, what's interesting is so far, the Supreme Court put a temporary hold on that law. All right, so they basically said, give us till March 13th, give us a chance to go through the information, the briefs and all of that stuff before we make a further decision. So, the Supreme Court hasn't said, no, it's done. They're saying we need some more time. We needed to look at all the briefs and all the discussion. So we're still waiting to hear from the Supreme Court. Now, meanwhile, there's a serious impact to the unprecedented levels of illegal aliens coming into this country. Now, one of the effects of this outrageous amount of illegal entry, right, is the it's the fact that you're increasing the population, and studies claim that many of these illegal aliens coming into the country are settling in, we'll call them, democratically controlled areas, right? The democratically controlled house districts, states, cities, and whatnot. Why that's important is if you go back to Article 1 of the Constitution, representation in Congress and direct taxes are apportioned based on the population of the state. It doesn't say the citizens of the state, but the population of the state. Now, that has been that's been decided by the courts that the census doesn't just count citizens, it counts residents. Do you see where I'm going now? So not worried about direct taxes because the federal government doesn't really collect direct taxes. They haven't bothered to. But representation in the House is apportioned based on that. And I've seen studies that say anywhere between 25 and 40 House seats would actually go to other states if it wasn't for the illegal migration settling in places like California, Illinois, New York, and I'm sure Texas and other states as well. Now, how many of those may shift political support? I don't know. I didn't see that. But think about it. That means that these people who are coming here illegally, although indirectly, are having a say in federal law. Remember, the members of the House are chosen by the people every 2 years. Their job is to represent the people, of the different states. But that's also being manipulated by people who are not here legally, by people who broke the law to come here. Now, I'm not saying that that there are those who are doing this to benefit the Democratic Party. Not saying it's not. I don't know how big an impact it is. But ask yourself, what would happen if states like California and Texas, if the number of seats they have were diminished because of the number of illegal aliens that they have? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, they get debit cards and free health care and education and transportation. And of course, there have been the reports of people being citizens being effectively kept out of public places so they could be turned into accommodations for illegal aliens. I'm sure New York is having a tremendous problem just trying to fund housing, actually even to find housing, much less fund housing for all the illegal aliens that are coming to the locations. And then you add to that, now we're talking about them manipulating the vote. Now, I've heard it said, and this is quite true, it's not going to impact this election. It's not going to impact the next election. But it certainly will impact the election after that. Because you have to remember, not only are you talking representation in Congress, but the states can appoint presidential electors based on their representation in Congress. That means that a president, or I should say a state that has additional representation in Congress because of their accepting illegal aliens will also gain additional power in choosing the president of the United States. This reminds me of the situation during the debates over the Constitution. Only in that case, it wasn't illegal aliens that people were trying to use to inflate their power in Congress. Then it was slaves, which, of course, led to the three-fifths clause it was a compromise to limit that. I'm not talking about a compromise. Have you considered the impact of this level of illegal aliens crossing the border and how it is swaying representation in Congress in the among presidential electors and the impact, the long-term impact that is having on this country as a whole? I mean, the numbers to me are just staggering. According to data from the Department of Homeland Security, between February 2021 and January 2024, more than 7.2 million illegal aliens have not only entered the country, but been released inside the inside of our borders. They've been allowed to travel wherever they want on the pinky promise that they'll actually show up for an immigration hearing at some point. All right, that number 7.2, that's a big number. That number grabs my attention, but there's more. You see, there are 36 states in the union that have a population less than 7.2 million. According to current population data, Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Oregon, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Vermont, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming all have a population less than 7.2 million, meaning less than the number of illegal aliens that have entered this country in just about 3 years. And the problem's accelerating. According to Customs and Border Protection, just since the fiscal year started, right, October through today, through, what was it, probably February, January, February of 2024, nearly 1 million encounters at the border. Nearly 1 million encounters. We are on course to set a record of almost 2.5 million encounters in a single fiscal year. And remember, the president isn't doing anything to help. Now, what's interesting is there's been a lot of fighting and infighting and debating in Congress. There have been fights to try and get money to help deal with the border crisis. But of course, what's interesting is it's the Republicans in the House that keep trying to find money for a border crisis. It's the Democrats in the Senate and the president who refuse to allocate any money to protect our borders unless there's 2 to 3 times as much money to protect Ukraine's borders. In this type of situation, is that really the focus of our president? The borders of Ukraine, not the borders of the country he swore to protect the Constitution of? Now, part of the reason those numbers are so staggering to me is consider this. Again, when it comes to the legal definition of invasion, which is what I believe we're talking about when we're dealing with the Constitution, we're talking about not only significant numbers, but numbers sufficient to change the fundamental culture of the United States. Now listen, I'm all for legal immigration. I agree that there's probably should be changes in our immigration law. But the answer shouldn't simply be, oh, we're just going to ignore the law. The answer should be, we need to enforce the law and fix the law. The fixes I'm talking about are, you know, how many visas, under what conditions, what are they used for, things like that. They probably need a look at. But to simply ignore the impact on this country, to ignore the laws of the United States, to ignore the Constitution of the United States, to ignore the crisis that in many cases the Biden policies have not created, but certainly accelerated. Well, I have to wonder, when we look at this, do we say, yeah, we want more of this? And again, I'm not simply, I know we focus a lot on Biden because right now Biden's the chief executive. But I have to ask you, what about the people in Congress? What about the members of the House and the members of the Senate? Is this really the way you think the country should be run? Are they representing what you find important? Do you think it's more important that we protect the borders of Ukraine than our own? That rather than dealing with the criminals that are entering our country, we simply set them loose? And yeah, many of them are just people looking for work. They're looking for a better situation. That's fine. But according to our laws, that's not a reason to grant asylum. But they're effectively getting it. And you can't forget that there are those who are here for criminal enterprises, for drugs, prostitution, human trafficking, gang violence, all sorts of, they're in there as well. And let's also not forget, the vast majority of these people are a burden on the American taxpayer. So not only are they breaking the law to get here, they're being provided with services. In some cases, they are getting preferential treatment over citizens of the United States. What is your senator, your congressman doing about that? So far, all I've seen is a lot of political bickering and one moderate attempt to impeach, not the president who establishes these policies, but his Secretary of Homeland Security, who is actually implementing these policies. See, as bad as these things are, they're that way in the most case because the American people for decades have tolerated these types of shenanigans, we've given them an inch, they've taken 1,000 miles. And we're spending most of our time whining and complaining about donkeys versus elephants. How about the future of the United States? See, if you don't have a border, do you still have a country? If you don't have a border, does the Constitution mean anything? If there's not a border for a country for it to be the Constitution of? And if the states that make up this union, that created the federal government, well, if they are to be bullied into compliance with their own destruction, where does that leave us? I have some ideas, and I will talk about those, but I have to take a break first. Before I go, though, you know, there's been a lot of good reporting about this on America Out Loud Talk. I'm sorry, AmericaOutLoud.news. It's a great place to go every day for news and information. I get information from it every day, but I want you to do something. See, it's not simply enough to observe a problem. We must do something to fix the problem. So I'm going to ask you to take the stories and the articles, the podcasts, the videos, the information that you find compelling, interesting, or just a better explanation than you've ever heard before, and I want you to share them. Email them to family. Put them on social media. Discuss them at the local coffee shop. Share this information. See, it's the knowledge is one thing, but for the knowledge to be effective, for it to be powerful, we must use it. And by sharing this information, you not only share knowledge, but you're helping to secure the blessings of liberty.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutLoud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutLoud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutLoud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study, and today we're talking about what we can learn from the border crisis. Now, we spent most of the program talking about the southern border, because that's what most people focus on. It's where the biggest problem is. But like anything else, if you focus too much on one thing, you forget we have a northern border as well. See, as it turns out, illegal aliens crossing our northern border are hitting historically high numbers as well. Now, the illegal crossings at the northern border are still a fraction of what's going on at the southern border. But it's worth being aware of. Don't become, you know, don't fall for the magician's tricks, focusing so much on one area that you forget the other. It's actually a commonly used tactic in the military, is you get your opponent to look one way while you attack another. Recently, a group of four Chinese nationals were arrested at the border trying to sneak into Maine from Canada. Now, again, that's one instance. It's four. It's a small fraction of what's going on at the southern border. But I want you to think about this. There are several South American countries that can legally fly into Canada. And, but you know, Canada and U.S. share the longest national border in the world. And it's peaceful, a peaceful border, and it's largely unguarded. So, again, we have to wonder what else is going on. Well, the people if we shut down the southern border, will we start seeing more illegal immigration from the northern border? It's quite possible, and it's certainly something we should consider. Now, again, what can we do? Well, I've already talked a bit about the states coming to the defense of other states to help them defend their own borders. Sure, there are a lot of people complaining about that, but the idea of, you know, Florida, Tennessee, and other states offering help, offering to send members of their National Guard to Texas to help them defend their border is a good thing. But what happens if the federal government decides to, as some have suggested, get in the middle of that? I mean, is it really such a stretch to consider that the federal government might try to federalize the Texas National Guard to help them not enforce the law, which is its own twist? Is it really so far much of a stretch to go from there to federalizing other state National Guards to prevent them from going to Texas and assisting? Again, I think it'd be politically it'd be extremely difficult. I think it would create a lot of problems, but that's not to say there aren't other states that are concerned. What happens if the federal government decides to use our own National Guard against us? Of course, there's one other thing in here that I want to bring up, and the National Guard has been used quite a bit lately by the federal government for things they're not legally authorized to use them for. You see, under Article 1, Section 8, Congress can provide for the calling forth of the militia to execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrection, and repel invasion. But frequently, the Guard has been used to support, we'll call them overseas adventures. How's that for a nice little turn of phrase? Well, several states are starting to push back on this as well. For example, back in February, a Senate committee for the Arizona legislature passed a bill that would require the governor to stop the use of Arizona National Guard in foreign combat deployments. The Senator Wendy Rogers, with a bunch of others who co-sponsored this Senate Bill 1121, they titled it the Defend the Guard Act. And again, the idea is it prevents the governor from releasing the National Guard to active duty combat unless the United States Congress passes an official declaration of war or takes an official action pursuant to Article 1, Section 8, Clause 15, the one I was just telling you, reading to you about when they can call up the Guard. See, it's one thing to call up the Guard to enforce the laws or repel invasion. It's another thing to send them overseas in support of an overseas adventure. Now, active duty combat is defined in this bill as participation in an armed conflict, performance of a hazardous service relating to an armed conflict in a foreign state, and performance of a duty through an instrumentality of war. Now, again, this to me, this is a state saying the federal government can't use our military for whatever they want. The Constitution specifically limits for the calling forth of the militia to do those three things, right? To enforce the laws of the United States, to repel invasion, or suppress insurrection. So it's nice to see Arizona standing up for that. And similarly, recently, Idaho, this Idaho Senate has passed a very similar bill. It's not law yet, but again, it says the Senate Bill 1252 out of Idaho says that the governor cannot release the guard to participate in active duty combat unless Congress has passed an official declaration of war. Now, this is important for a couple of reasons. So Congress has the sole authority to declare war. The Constitution doesn't say how Congress declares war. Generally, it's been a resolution, right? We declare war on such and such. That hasn't been done since 1941. But yet we've been in several wars. And the question is, if Congress is funding war activity, is that not a form of declaring war? If we spend money to send troops to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to Vietnam, to Korea, are we not enacting, are we not acting in a war as of a war? Is Congress not declared war through their actions if they didn't actually use the language, we declare war? Well, these bills and several others I've seen like them specifically say a official declaration of war. Meaning, if Congress wants to use the militia to supplement the military, right, not enforce the laws of the United States, not repel invasion or suppress insurrection, but as a support of the military, well, then they actually have to declare war. And I believe this is closer to what our founding fathers had in mind when they set up. They didn't want a full-time army, or they didn't want full-time troops, but they needed a militia that would step in because they didn't have full-time troops. That changed over the years. We now have a professional army, and we still have the militia. And we've used the militia in support of the army on multiple occasions. But now the state's saying, no, you have to actually follow the Constitution. You actually have to declare war if you want us to act in as if we're at war. So this is another way the states can stand up and push back on the crisis that's being let go or let fester at our borders. So let me ask you, what can you do? See, if you've noticed here at the Constitution Study, I focus less on trying to get D.C. to change. I even focus a bit on trying to get states to change. But I think it all starts in our own hearts, in our own neighborhoods, in our own families. So what can we do? Now, this November, we have a decision to make. We have many decisions to make. You have a decision of look at the president and ask yourself, is that the person you want? Do you want somebody that simply thumbs their nose at their duty under the Constitution, that refuses to faithfully enforce the laws of the United States, that refuses to protect the Constitution? Then tell your state so when you vote. Remember, people don't vote for president. The people vote to tell their states who they want their states to vote for president. I know it's a little weird. That's because we've so twisted the presidential process. If you want to find out more, I've written an article on how we elect a president. You can find a copy at AmericaOutloud.news. So step number one is, well, do you want, you know, is that who you want as president? Yeah, but the other guy is worse. Okay, maybe you think he's worse, maybe he's not. But I have to ask you, is what he has, what that person had actually done, not what he's been accused of doing, what he's actually done, a lot of it, by the way, is unconstitutional. Is it really worse than what the current guy is doing? In other words, part of the problem is we've been brainwashed into the idea of we have to accept the lesser of two evils. The problem with that is then you're always accepting evil. And you're going to get evil. Which also means maybe we should consider how we actually elect this person. But again, that's a discussion we probably should have another day. Go back to the original function of the Constitution and how we elect a president. But it's not just the president. Look at how your member of the House and member of the Senate have reacted to this crisis. Is that a representation of you, of your sovereign decision, your inherent rights? Is that a representation of you? If not, why would you keep voting for them? We all know the old joke, how can you tell when a politician's lying? Their lips are moving. What does that say about us that we knowingly hire liar, cheats, and thieves to represent us? And then act shocked when they actually lie, cheat, and steal. But there's more as well. So you're also going to be, you've got the president, you've got the House, you've got your senators, your U.S. senators. What about at your state level? Are you a citizen of one of the states that's helping to defend Texas? Are you a citizen of one of the states that's actually inviting, encouraging illegal aliens to enter this country by being sanctuary cities, by offering them gifts and goodies for coming here illegally? What are you doing to fix that? Whether you're a state that encourages illegal immigration or is trying to defend against illegal aliens, what can you do to encourage your state representatives on the side of law and justice and discourage those that are inside of, well, illegal, chaotic activities? What about locally? There's a lot of concerns about the election. Are you involved in the election process? Have you met or talked to anyone on your county election commission? Are you watching what they're doing to make sure that the election in your county is free and fair and transparent? That it's audited. Every election should be audited. Are you checking? Or are you just sitting back and complaining about it but not doing anything to fix it? I say frequently on this program that knowledge is not power until it's put into action. Well, there's a lot of knowledge, and there's a lot of people with a lot of knowledge out there, but what I'm not seeing is them putting it into action. Well, Paul, what can I do? I can't talk to the president. You don't have to. Don't lose the forest for the trees. There are trees there. Look at what you can do, not what you can't do. And do what you can do. Me, I have a radio program. I get to discuss this. You have friends, you have family, you have organizations you're a part of, you have probably some social media. Will you get involved? I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's amazing. They're talking about, well, things I can do to help promote the show and the Constitution study. And I said, yeah, this is just a problem. He said, well, I got one guy, he does a lot of stuff through Facebook. I got kicked off of Facebook. Well, he does a lot of stuff through LinkedIn. I got kicked off of LinkedIn. He does stuff through YouTube. People tell me they have a hard time finding my content on YouTube. Now, I can sit there and whine and complain about those things I cannot change, or I can work towards the things that I can change. Making sure I have stuff on my website, on Rumble, on Gab, on Locals, on other platforms. Making sure my message gets out. As we see the problems that are going on, let's stop focusing on what we can't do. Let's look at what we can do. And rather than saying, what's that little thing going to do? And realize, one little thing, not so much. Lots of little things can make a tremendous difference. But those lots of little things don't happen unless individuals actually do something. Maybe you're going to support a Defend the Guard Act in your state, or support your state sending guards to a National Guard to the border. Maybe you're going to make people aware of what's going on with the Texas law, or with the Eagle Pass issue. Keep people up to date. Again, it's not about what you can't do. It really is about what you can do. And remember, as these states start standing up and doing something, they do so because their people are pushing, their citizens are pushing them. Maybe you should do what you can, when you can, and where you can. And hopefully, the one of the things you can do will come back here and join us for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. Now, the episodes always go to podcast, generally a day or two after they're heard on talk radio. You can listen in your favorite podcast app. But do me a favor, subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews, especially on Apple Podcasts. See, that helps expose us to other people when they're searching for information. You can help. You can do something. The links are found at the homepage at AmericaOutloud.news. Let's take this information, let's take this knowledge, let's share it. And by doing so, not simply share news of what's going on, but helping all of us to share the blessings of liberty.